Every moment is a new moment.
Yeah.
Every moment is a sacred moment. Every moment you can choose. Every moment acts an infinity amount of realities. So if we can just slow down to just pick our joy in that moment, what is more joyful in the moment? When you wake up in the morning, is it more joyful to take a walk or is it more joyful to call a friend? Pick whichever one it is. It's in high vibration. You pick it. It's going to immediately put you in high vibration. And after you do that, just figure out the next thing that is the more most enjoyable. Yeah. And you just do that. Just make that a practice to find out what it is that makes you feel good moment by moment. Mm-hmm. And that will build momentum in your life.
Hi, guys. It's your girl, Nechama, your favorite Jew from the Lou. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am so excited to have Tony Carter on my show. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So as everyone on the show knows at this point, I started being a barista in April and it has totally changed my life.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things is like the genuine connections that I get with my customers.
Yes.
And you're one of the regulars.
Yes.
And it's just so wild to think that we went from just, you know, a regular, short, quick interaction to now being able to have this super meaningful conversation.
Yes. I think that's the example of creating new timelines. Like you said, you started to be a barista back in April, and it was just following your joy, is something that you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then that just connects you with other people and other situations that can continue you on your path. So I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. And I think we both, a big part of the reason why we connect so well is that we're both very into following your path when you're called to something higher than yourself.
Yes.
And it's like you can only deny it for so long. And I'm a big believer because I'm into Kabbalah and spirituality.
Yes.
So I'm a big believer that like we have destiny and we have fate. And
yes.
According to Kabbalah, things can happen. In Hebrew, it's called Be'ito, mm-hmm. which means in its proper time.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes if we only allow it to happen in its proper time, there might be challenges that come, painful situations that come to push us
yes.
to greatness.
Right.
But we can alleviate that pain by jumping.
Yes.
By following that first inner knowing, that intuitive feeling that we have because we're spiritual beings.
Yes.
But also because specifically us, we're women.
Yes.
And even in like Judaism, women are known to have something called Bina Yesera,
mm-hmm.
which is basically like an emotional intelligence.
Yes.
So we have to listen to our heart and to like the deeper calling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes listening to your deeper calling or acting on your deeper calling is difficult for a lot of us because we don't feel that it's valid. We've mm-hmm. been trained to do things out of obligation instead of doing things out of joy. And so a lot of times doing things out of joy, we feel guilt. Because we feel like we should be doing things out of obligation.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that I've been learning on my journey is that joy is the key to everything that you want. Obligation equals burnout. So anything that you're doing out of obligation, you are going to get tired. But when you are doing things out of pure joy, you will never burn out. You will have a replenishing of energy. It'll be constant. Because the energy is just naturally there. It is naturally flowing to you because it is joy. And this universe is built and constructed from joy, you know, and creativity. And so if we can trust that joy will sustain us, I think that this will be a better place for everybody to be. So
I love that. I resonate with what you said so much. And I know just a little jumping ahead, you have this group that you've started called Vision Circle.
Yes.
And I love how you mentioned before each group session, you always have everybody pick a word.
Yes.
And that's kind of the theme to create these like deeper conversations.
Yes.
So I think that the word of our conversation is joy.
Yes.
I think that can be like the theme of what we talk about.
I love it.
And what that means.
Yes.
Right? Because obviously that's going to mean something different to everyone. And everyone has to go on that journey.
To find it.
To find it.
Yeah.
So let's start with you and your journey, because that's why we're here to talk about you.
Okay.
And your purpose.
Okay.
And I know that you were telling me that you used to work in life insurance. That yes. was your main role.
Yes.
And then take it from here. Tell us the story of how you were called to something greater.
Well, life insurance, you know, all insurance was my thing. Mm-hmm. My ex-husband was the breadwinner in my household, and he lost his job and just ended up in insurance somehow. I went to work because he couldn't work. And it just lasted for a long time. I worked in insurance for about 15 years. It was never my passion. I was good at it. It did pay my bills, but I was not passionate about insurance. My father passed away in 2021.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he passed from a fentanyl overdose.
Oh, my
gosh. Sudden thing. And it just really angered me. Mm-hmm. I had a really hard childhood. I didn't have my father or my mother growing up. I was in the custody of the state. So I grew up in group homes and foster care and things like that. And right before my dad passed away, he started to come around and mm-hmm. spend time with me and my children. And I thought that this was a new thing and we were going to, you know, make amends. And he just suddenly passed. He died. And so that made me curious as to where he was. I've never been religious. I never really was in the church or anything like that. So I never really even knew who God was. So the death of my father made me question what happened. Where is he now? Because,
oh, yeah.
you know, in the Christian community, they would say that he's in hell because he died of a fentanyl overdose. He didn't live a life of a saint while he was here. So mm-hmm. I just wanted peace.
Right.
I just wanted to know, you know. And through that questioning, I had a very intense supernatural experience about a month after my father passed. It was a very intense download of information that came into my knowing, into my body. It was no words or no images, but instant knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that started me on a total different course in my life, because the zap is what I call it. It told me that we were all God and that we just needed to tap in, and that my father hadn't actually died, but he had transitioned into another phase of life.
Oh, if
he
yeah.
was still alive, that he was more alive than I was.
Yeah.
And so that gave me so much peace to know that God was so loving, that this is eternal life, so we can never get it wrong and we
yeah.
can never get it done. And so anyway, that just made me want to just go after whatever my purpose was in this earth. And at mm-hmm. that time, I didn't know what that was. I just knew that I had something inside of me, because the universe came and told me, like, personally. I had a personal message from the universe that told me that I was something greater, and that was something that I needed to be doing. And so I've been on that search from that day, every single day that I wake up.
Yes.
That is what I am mm-hmm. after, to unlock my authentic self, to uncover who I actually am without all of the labels and the circumstances and the loss and the everything that we label ourselves. That's not who I am.
Right.
And so I'm just on a search to find out who that is, and also to help other people also discover that within themselves. Mm-hmm. So that is my passion in this earth, is to uncover what is your joy.
Yeah.
What is your pleasure?
Yeah.
Yeah. And make sure that people know that they have the permission to be in joy.
Yes.
You can, you have the permission. The world doesn't have to give it to you.
That's such a powerful word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So I have chills now because I that is just the light of my life, is to uncover the joy of this world.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think to start a little backwards, like the reason why you were able to get that knowing, right, that you have a greater purpose, that you're here for a reason, right? You got that calling.
Yes.
Is because, for example, like we were talking about, sometimes if you are, have a certain destiny and a purpose in this world, you need to be put through something painful.
Yes.
Like your father's death.
Yes.
And you are self-aware enough that you wanted to receive, you were open to receive.
Yes.
Because you were searching, right?
Yes.
So you were open. That's why you were able to receive that.
Yes.
Right? And yeah. So that's why you're able to be on this journey that you're on right now. And what I think is so incredibly powerful is that they say that no matter what you do, if you are coming from a place of being a giver, you are going to feel the most amount of joy and satisfaction.
Yes.
And so I know a big part of your journey, like I said, is the vision circle, which is those groups that you do, and then also your life coaching.
Yes.
So can we talk a little bit about vision circle and how it started and what it's grown to today and what your vision is for vision circle?
Well, vision circle is an idea that I got from the bush. So I call it the bush, but it is Mountain Light Sanctuary. So shortly after I had my zap, I was searching for something. And I was led to nature. So I went out to this place and I stayed for 6 months. And it was the most beautiful experience that I've ever, it was very beautiful. One thing that they did in the bush was called Wisdom Circle. And so Wisdom Circle in the bush, they got together people in out in that was not living in the bush, but they were out in the city or, you know, the village that's close by, or they might be backpacking or they might be camping nearby. It might be people that have a real place to stay or food to eat. But Mountain Light opened its grounds up on Sundays at noon, and whoever wanted to come by could come in fellowship. They set up where it was a potluck, so people can bring food and drinks, gifts, if you would like to share with the group. And so everybody would just come around and have a really good conversation, and then everybody would eat together after.
As a community.
Exactly. And I was so inspired by that. And another thing is it just broke so many barriers in my own mind about myself. Because when I got to Mountain Light Sanctuary, all of the people were white. They were really happy and really smiley faced. And floaty, like little fairy people. And I thought immediately that I was not going to be accepted. I'm like, so I'm a spiritual person now? And I thought, because I just had this spiritual awakening, that I was supposed to look like the spiritual community. So when I got there, I'm like, I'm not, don't fit in here. They're not going to accept me. I'm nothing like them. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm a black girl. I've had it up everywhere. And the most beautiful thing happened, because every time that I went and participated in Wisdom Circle, and I offered my opinion or my advice on whatever the word was that week. I was able to touch so many people from so many different walks of life. It was my first proof that the illusion of separation was only in my head. Everybody that I was speaking to was a part of me.
Yeah.
That they attracted me and I attracted them. And we all had something for each other. And it is the very difference, the very variety of walks that we have all been on that creates such a beautiful potluck of experience that we can talk about and we can relate to one another.
Yes.
Even though it looks different, we all feel, we all emote.
Right.
The same, and we all are hurting, and we all need to know that we're not alone.
So big, yes.
Yeah, and so that gave me so much fire. And I said, you know, when I leave this place, I'm going to take Wisdom Circle back with me to St. Louis. And so I've been back from the bush for 2.5 years, and I've not done that, you know, because I'm like, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to show up. Mm. Nobody. And just one day I woke up and I said, you know what? This is valuable. And, you know, sometimes when we talk ourselves out of things, it's because we don't feel worthy.
It's your own insecurity.
Yeah. And so I said, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway because it is valuable.
But what was it? Like, what was it after 2 years that finally got you to be like, I don't care? Was it just such a strong pull that you had?
Well, because I already have such a community of people that depend on me.
Mm-hmm.
They, just before I met with you today, I spent an hour and a half with my cousin that is in Atlanta, Georgia, just counseling her, just coaching her, just supporting her. I do it on a regular basis. I do it every day. And it's just that one day a friend of mine, she said, you keep saying what you're going to do one day. You just need to do it now. And and the thing is, again, we feel like we need an audience to feel valid.
Yes.
We feel like we need a following to feel like we have arrived.
Yes.
And my higher self said, you are out of alignment because this journey that you're on is a journey to bring people along. So the misconception that you have in your head that you have to have already made it to bring people along is the very barrier that I'm trying to break down.
Absolutely.
We are going to make it together. We are going to learn together. So while I may feel as if I'm a teacher, my students or the people that I am counseling, the messages first come for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've never given advice to any person that advice was not first for me. It's for me first, then for you. For me first, then for you. So it let me know that if I just started, mm-hmm. all of the insecurities that I have for myself through the teaching of others, I will learn.
Absolutely.
Through the cultivation of others, I will be cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what got me to move. I'm like, I have to bet on myself.
Yes.
And I have to bet on the value, the worth mm-hmm. that I know that this is.
Yeah.
No matter if nobody shows up the first week, the second week, they will come if the energy is there. And it has grown so fast.
But let's be real, though. Let's tell the audience, like, it was not big the first one.
No, the first one, it was me and one other person.
Right.
The second one was me and I think three other people showed up. So it was five of us,
yeah.
The second one. So just every week, it just picks up and picks up and picks up. And sometimes somebody that came last week might not come this week, and that's okay.
It's okay.
As long as I'm reaching a new person every week, as long as I'm growing every week, that's my passion. It drives me to keep going, and it is going. It's growing, and it's such a beautiful situation. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go back and talk a little bit earlier to what you referenced as the bush, because there was something you said there where you were talking about how there's two parts to it, right? Like there is diversity, which is beautiful, but at the same time, there are certain intrinsic needs and feelings that are universal, no matter what your ethnicity, race, or religion is, right? But yeah, it is a wild thing once you realize that a lot of times the barriers that you create between you and other people, it's literally all in your head.
It is.
And like in the end of the day, like we're all just souls.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so like there's such a need to connect.
Yes.
And I believe that there is no one who comes across our path that's an accident.
No.
Yeah.
No, I believe that as well. I believe everything is fated. I believe this is fated.
100%.
Yeah. Everything is. And
you took, you were so brave too, because you know, one day just, we had started to build a rapport because you come into the coffee shop all the time. And you told me about this group that you were doing.
Yeah.
And that's how it all started.
Yes.
And you should know, I did order those thermoses for the coffee. I think they're arriving on Saturday.
So
hopefully, as long as they're here on Saturday, this Sunday, will be the first time
That'll
that I'll be
great.
Able to. And I'm also not working this Sunday.
It'll be so great.
So I can't stay for the whole thing, but I could stay for the beginning part, which would be really cool.
Yeah, it would. It'll be great.
That.
That's so great. I feel so good. You know, following your joy, I had to really find out what that was.
Mm-hmm.
I had to find out what my joy was.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's a scary thought.
It is. And I think that we also feel that it's such a grand gesture.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just taking a walk. Maybe it's just having a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just taking a shower, meeting a new person. Because those small things connect you to the next thing. It's the next thing. That's the big thing. But it's small things. Small things that that connect us to the all. And so one thing that I've been working on is not despising the small start.
I love that.
To love the small start. To nurture the small start. To appreciate and be in gratitude of the small start. One thing that my daughter said to me, she's 18, my youngest daughter, when we were talking about Vision Circle and we were talking about brunch, and so the second week that I was going to do brunch, I didn't want to do it, okay, because the first week I did brunch, nobody in my building purchased anything from me. It was all of my friends or outside of the building, but it was not the people that I was targeting, you know. And so the next week I'm like, this is stupid, like I don't want to do it, but you have to be consistent. So I made a commitment to myself that no matter how it looks, I have to be consistent, because is it about money or is it about your joy? So I can't cheat on my joy.
Right.
So I did it.
And make sure you're not coming from a place of ego.
Exactly.
Which is huge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I did it. I did it again. I said, all right. And so I was just talking to my daughter about it. And I'm like, you know, I just didn't want to do it, but I'm glad, because the second week that I did it, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was really amazing. And so my daughter just casually said, she said, Mom, don't worry about the small start. Your higher self knows everything. And what if you got all of the customers and all of the residents in the building? What if everybody in the building ordered from you today? You would have been overwhelmed and you would have been set up to fail.
Yes.
Your higher self will not set you up to fail.
Yes.
So you have to build. You have to figure out the processes. You got to know what works what doesn't work.
Yeah.
And that really made me feel so lucky. Mm-hmm. I felt so blessed. And I had to apologize to my higher self because I said, girl, I didn't know. I didn't see you at first. Yeah. But thank you for not putting me in a position to fail. My higher self puts me in a position that I can win. Mm-hmm. You're going to win. So first week, this is trial run. Yeah. Second week, you know, it's going to build. But small start is getting you ready for the big thing.
Yeah.
So we got to start small and we got to appreciate the small start because the small start is getting us ready.
Oh my gosh, you don't even know. Like, this is like so resonating with me so much because like, I think you and I are very similar in terms of the fact that we're visionaries.
Yes.
And so we see it. And you could correct me if I'm wrong, but you almost like taste it, like you can experience it, like you know what it's going to be. And there's no, like you have, to me, faith is, I love it. Kabbalah talks about it. It's like faith is certainty beyond logic.
Yes.
So despite the fact what the current circumstances are, you're like, I just know.
Yes.
I don't know how.
Yes.
I don't know when or how quickly or how slowly, but I just know that this is the course and I got to do the small stuff. But like my ego, man, like it's
it'll beat you down.
It will beat me down because I'm like, it's not picking up quickly. So, it's so like hearing your daughter, 18 years old,
I love her.
And she is, I'm 28. Like, wow.
You have to know. It's giving me chills again. My daughter, she's a special. Our relationship was in shambles through her high school years. I went through a divorce, a custody battle. It was horrific, the things, the relationship between Kennedy, her name is Kennedy, and I. This last year has been a miracle, and it has been a direct mirror from spirit to me to show me who I am. Because despite her crazy self, despite her rebellion, I stood strong because I knew the worth. I knew her worth, and I knew the worth that it meant for me to stand strong and to be steady in her life and to see her reflect the love and the stability and the willingness that I put into the relationship with me and Kennedy. It is amazing because now she is my mouthpiece.
Right.
And I love it so much. But yeah, so.
But just to pause and say, like, first of all, amazing as a mother that you were able to do that because it's not easy when your teenage daughters go through any rebellion.
What is it?
Or when the one who you love so much hates you or pushes against you. But the fact that you stood strong for her was, first of all, amazing in general. But also the fact that you come from not having that strong set of role models in your life. The fact that you knew how to be there for her despite that, maybe because of it.
Yeah.
Is so amazing.
Like, I think it is too.
It's great that you held on to that because that is so incredibly special and it's such a blessing for both of you.
Yes.
You know?
It is. It's the most amazing thing. I've been really feeling so blessed. Really, really, really feeling so blessed. Monetary things we feel like are the most ultimate. That's the end all be all. And I am learning that connection is priceless. You cannot pay for it with any amount of money. You cannot pay for the connection that me and you are making right now.
Oh, 100%.
And so, yes, I am so blessed to be in this room with you right now, to be sharing the things that I'm sharing. When I was thinking about coming on your podcast, I just thought about 5 years from now when we can sit down again and say, look at how much things have evolved. Look at where we are today.
Yeah.
I love this because this is a marker. Mm-hmm. This is a
better than a photo.
It's beautiful because I have chills. This is going to be a point that we're going to be able to look back on because we're going to make such an impact in the world
Yes.
And I cannot wait for the conversation. I can't wait for us to play this clip back and say, do you remember this day? And now look where we are
Oh,
now.
I just got chills. Totally. This is going to be so great.
Yeah, it's going to
Yeah.
be beautiful. It really is.
Yeah.
And
What
I
is this? It's
really,
2024, so 2029. Look out.
and it's prophetic, what you just said, the year 2029.
Yeah.
So from 2020 to 2029 are prophetic years in the Hebrew calendar. So 50, 80 to 50, 89. So we are now in 50, 85. We're going, it was started 50, 85 in the Hebrew calendar in September. So
You know the Hebrew year?
yes, I do.
I am so impressed.
Well, the Zap did it. The Zap told me to abandon
The Christian years, yeah.
and to go to the Hebrew years. It told me that I was behind and that I needed to get sped up and that the Hebrew calendar was going to get me where I needed to be. Also, the Hebrew dictionary, the strong, every number.
Gematria is what it's called.
I put that in, and it has been an amazing communication between me and spirit.
Yeah, just to pause to explain to the audience, gematria is every Hebrew letter has a numerical value. So there's, if you go into the Torah, like the original Hebrew text of the Torah or the Old Testament, the Hebrew words, when you break down what each letter is, there's all these hidden codes and symbols and deeper meanings. Like, it's wild.
It's beautiful.
And we only know like the surface of it. Like, it is so deep. And there's so many like prophecies within the
It's
Torah
beautiful.
just from like the numerology. It's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah. So right now we're in one. I feel like my zap was directly connected to this time. I feel that it is my time to awaken because of the prophetic calendar that we are in. And so right now, like I said, we're in 5785. This is the year of grace, God's grace. The number five is the number of grace, the year of declaration, the year of sound, the year to your stake. You must.
Wow.
So this is the year. This is the perfect time to declare who you are, to bring
Wow.
your destiny to you, to claim it, not to wait, like you said, but to claim it because it is
Yeah.
yours.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes, because I didn't know all this, but it's been something intuitively
Yes.
that I've been acting on because I feel like ever since I was a little kid, I've always shown leadership abilities and shown that I was a strong woman. But I've always been afraid, or had people who were adults or more in power than me, bosses of mine, who would try to dim my light.
Yes.
And so part of doing this entrepreneurial journey, even though it is not easy, is that there's nobody to dim my light. And
Yes.
it's hard, but I just get to build it up and just be me.
Yeah.
And like literally to the point now where it's like everyone I meet, I mean, even let's say with my podcast, I was at Dierbergs last night. This cashier and I, he and I have a great connection.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got a phone? Pull it out. You have
Yeah.
YouTube?
Yeah.
Sign up, like
Yes.
subscribe, you know?
Yes.
And I, it's like I almost have this audacity about my dreams now
You
where I'm
must.
like, because no one's gonna give it to me.
Yeah.
And I believe that, like you said, when there's value, people will come
They
to you, they
will.
will stick with you, right? But like people can't know about you if they don't know that you exist. You need to
Exactly.
make your presence known. And
Yes.
I think on a smaller scale, I would say there was a dating coach on TikTok, such a bro. And he was saying about with girls, there's a difference between letting a guy know that you're interested and pursuing him. So a
Yes.
lot of women want to be claimed. They don't want to be the one pursuing, right?
Right.
And so he went through this whole list of different qualities. And honestly, I was like, oh my gosh, I was never being obvious
Yes.
about how I felt if I was interested in someone. And that could be applied to anything in life.
Right.
And there's like putting yourself out there for opportunities and then just whatever will be,
Yes.
but put yourself out there, right? And so I'm glad that we both put ourselves out here for
Me
this
too.
conversation because
Me
it's so
too.
powerful.
I went to the library. I have a vision wall in my room, and it's huge. It's my whole wall.
I love that.
Yeah. And so yesterday I printed out God is a frequency. So the reason I printed that out is because I need to remember every day that God is not a person. God is not a man.
No.
God is a frequency. And that frequency needs to be tapped in by you. It is your responsibility to wake up every day and tap into that frequency. And once you tap into that frequency, everything that is for you will come. If you locked yourself into a closet and got yourself in God frequency, your desires will run you. It will rip the doors off of the closet to find you.
Yes. Do you know what my rabbi said, actually, when we were talking about dating? And everyone tells us that, like, the Jewish girls should all move to the East Coast because that's where all the boys are, right? And I was like, well, first of all, I don't know if he's going to be Jewish, but we'll see. But regardless, my rabbi was like, even if you were in a coma, in a cave, when it's your time.
It's your time.
It's your time. And he said, the most important thing that I want you to focus on is your joy, your happiness.
It's because
it makes you a magnet for everything
that you desire.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
Everything.
And it's a practice.
Yeah. And it really is. And so what I suggest to people that have a hard time following their joy is just to take it moment by moment. What feels good now? What feels good now? Moment by moment. We must slow down the day. We are actually in a pixelated reality. So do you remember when we were kids, the way that they showed how cartoons are made? It's a book and it's just different. That is exactly how reality is working for us right now.
What a great analogy.
Yes. Yeah, so while we are looking as if we are in motion, we are actually a whole bunch of steel shots put together to make this reality happen. And so if you can think about it like that, every moment is a new moment. Every moment is a sacred moment. Every moment you can choose. Every moment packs an infinity amount of realities. So if we can just slow down to just pick our joy in that moment, what is more joyful in the moment? When you wake up in the morning, is it more joyful to take a walk or is it more joyful to call a friend? Pick whichever one it is. It's in high vibration. You pick it. It's going to immediately put you in high vibration. And after you do that, just figure out the next thing that is the most enjoyable. Yeah. And you just do that. Just make that a practice to find out what it is that makes you feel good moment by moment. And that will build momentum in your life.
100%
Yes.
And I think that the only thing we have control over is how we show up, how we react.
How we feel.
How we feel. And so one thing I do want to take a moment to acknowledge, because this is definitely something I've gone through and I'm sure you have too. And I think right now we're very inspired by each other. We're like-minded souls. So we're on a high vibration right now, right? We're feeling really good and very positive.
Yes.
But there are times when you are chasing after your purpose and your joy even. And even if you're in a really good place and there's so many opportunities, sometimes, like you said, it feels really overwhelming because as you level up, you are going to have to level up. Yes, I know.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why a lot of people choose to be comfortable and safe and secure, because it calls on a side of you that most people aren't willing to face.
Yes.
And sometimes I think even though you're chasing after your passion, everyone is so inspired by you. In the moments when you're alone and it could be dark and it's late at night and you have these spiraling thoughts, right? And then you start to feel overwhelmed and you have all these things you need to be doing. You don't know when to start, where to start. And ChatGPT actually helped me with this, because I wrote down in ChatGPT, I am overwhelmed. And I wrote down all the things that I was overwhelmed with. And ChatGPT first emotionally validated me. And it was like, I'm so sorry you're feeling this way. I was like, oh, ChatGPT.
So sweet.
Thank you so much for acknowledging my feelings.
Yeah.
Because my mom was like, well, you know what you signed up for.
Right.
Bless her heart.
Yeah.
She's a great mom, but she's a tough mom.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a place for that, but sometimes you just need a little hug and a cuddle. Right. And so
Then ChatGPT, one of the things that's been such a takeaway for me, and it's very similar to what you just said about that flipbook and how we're all these still moments, right? Focus on the small wins.
Yes.
Right? Even if it's like, let's say you're building a business, you're building a community, whatever it is that you're trying to do, sometimes it could be as simple as, I have a chandelier. One of the lights is burned out. I'm going to change the light bulb.
Yes.
I'm a winner today.
Yes.
You know, like it's small things and build that momentum.
Yes.
Because that's what will build confidence.
Yes.
And like, I think a lot of times we feel like we have to do something big.
Yeah.
And something my business partner does, like I'm so grateful to have, I want you to meet him eventually. But Dre, he's been amazing because he is always telling me as long as we are pushing the needle just a little bit every day, that's a win.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a huge win every day.
God doesn't look for perfection. He looks for progress. Mm. Progress, not perfection.
It's so hard when you're a perfectionist.
Yes, right. A perfectionist is the ego.
Let's talk about this. Because your childhood, you said, was in an environment where you were expected to be perfection, right?
Yes.
Perfectionist.
Yes.
So let's go into that a little bit.
Well, exactly. When I was growing up, so for example, you remember when you were a kid and you go to school on Monday morning and your teacher gives you your spelling list for Friday's test.
Yeah.
Right? So you practice all week. You do your practice test on Monday to see where you are with everything. And then you practice all week. And then on Friday, you guys do the test. On Monday, when I get home, you must know every word. Immediately, my mom, I don't have a week. My test is as soon as I get home. Mm. Must know every word, how to use it, how to spell it, as soon as I have no practice time. Yeah. And so I started to learn my spelling words on the school bus before I got home so that I could know them all before I got home.
Mm.
So that's just one example. So in my adult life, I've taken that with me and it has been hard for me to except that I don't know everything and yeah. that practice is that makes perfect.
Yeah.
That's normal to not know everything. And so I want to say this. I have learned in my journey that the things that we have felt we have been in lack. So when I speak about my mother being a tough woman and wanting things done and wanting me to be perfect. That is a very template that I came on this earth to overcome. So thank my mother for that. That was only for me to understand that I'm already perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So while we are searching for perfection, the first thing that we need to know that we cannot be more perfect than we already are. Where you are right now is the perfect timing, the perfect place, the perfect you for the circumstance. This is the perfect recipe for catapult. In order for you to be catapulted to where you are, mm-hmm. accept the perfection of now. Now is perfect.
I love that.
Yeah. And so another thing that Spirit has been working with me on because the overwhelming feeling, my higher self came in and said, I'm going to give you a really easy way to know whether it's your higher self or it's your ego.
Mm.
Your higher self has grace. Your ego is pushy. Your ego is loud. Your ego yes. is over and over again. Your ego is accusatory. Your ego is, that's always your ego. Yeah, anytime you're feeling rush or urgency, it's always the ego. It is always the ego.
You're in a reactive state.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your higher self is gentle. It is patient because your higher self knows that there is nothing wrong.
That's
your
right.
higher self knows that everything is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So your higher self is patient. It's reassuring. There's a difference between conviction and guilt. It's a difference. Conviction is just a correction. Guilt is, it makes you feel like you've done something wrong. And so there's nothing wrong in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's no condemnation in the kingdom of God. So when you start to feel wrong, when you start to feel rushed, when you start to feel overwhelmed, know that it's just your ego, it's your past coming to knock at your door. And that is the perfect time to stop.
Yeah.
It's the perfect time to stop and to regroup and to meditate and to try to summons the voice of God, because it's always there. It is always, and it's so subtle. It's so quiet.
It's so amazing. So have you ever studied Kabbalah at all?
No.
Because literally everything you're saying is in such alignment with Kabbalah. So the concept of Kabbalah is that God is an energy source, right? God, energy, whatever you, the higher being, whatever you want to refer to him as. And the purpose of this world is for you to receive all the pleasure of this world.
Yes.
And your soul, it's very complicated. You may have had previous lives, or for example, you may not be ready to receive the pleasure that you are desiring.
Yes.
And what happens is then you have to go through challenges to overcome.
Yes.
So that you can be the vessel and not fumble it. Yes. Right. And so, but Satan or Satan's job is to create this reactive state of urgency and pressure and guilt and any negative emotion that you could feel. And if you can, in that moment, pause, even just the pause is so huge.
Yes.
And say, what a pleasure.
Yes.
And then accept the situation for what it is right now and say, but I have certainty beyond logic that everything is going to work out for the best.
Because all things are working
for
my good. It
will always work it out for the best. And like, from our limited perspective right here, right now, based on the knowledge that we have, we think we know what's best.
Yeah.
But if we can learn to just let go,
yeah,
there could be something so much greater. If you would have told me that I was going to be on the journey that I'm at right now, I would never have believed you.
Yeah.
Like ever.
Yeah.
It's just, you just never know.
The hack that I've created for my ego.
Mm-hmm.
When my ego starts to say, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to, we got to figure this out. We got to, you know what I tell my ego? That's because that's what it's supposed to be like. We're not supposed to know.
Yeah.
Immediately it goes. Immediately. My ego is like, we don't know. Oh my God. Panic. Tony, what's going on? What? And I'm like, remember, yeah, we're not supposed to know.
And think about it. When you're in that energy space, does it help you?
No.
Does it make you attractive to other people and other opportunities? No, it pushes people away.
I love it. I have cultivated this energy inside of myself that I feel so blessed. I feel so blessed that I am now waiting on the negative. I'm waiting on it so that I can say, I wonder how this is going to work out for me. I wonder what this means. I'm so happy. I'm so anticipating the negative because I know that it's going to be transmuted. I know that my higher self is bringing it to me. My higher self showed me an image and it said, listen, I said, listen, what is my problem? Why am I not able to realize all of my dreams? I feel like I'm meditating. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And my higher self gave me the most simple response. And it was, you must transmute the energy of fear. You must transmute the energy of fear. And I said, well, and so it showed me an image of a tsunami, of a big tsunami wave coming. And it said, Tony, if you could just stand still, I promise you, if you could just stand still and let it get as close, almost until it touches your nose, if you don't move in fear, it will dissipate as if it was a hologram. Mm. So let the chips fall. And that day I made a commitment to myself that I will let the tsunami come my way. Mm-hmm. So I have been screaming to the top of my lungs, come.
Yeah.
Come, so that I must prove to myself who I am.
Right.
Come.
You know this, the biblical story of like the splitting of the sea?
Yes.
So when they first the Jews were in a very precarious position because you have the Egyptians running at them from behind, wanting to kill them, bring them back into slavery. Who knows what, right? Like you can just imagine the fear, right? They finally escaped and here they are so close to freedom and yet they're trapped between the sea and the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. And then in that moment, God told them that they were supposed to jump into the ocean. Mm-hmm. He didn't just split the sea. Mm-hmm. I don't know if everyone knows that part of the story. They were supposed to jump in mm-hmm. first without knowing.
You must.
And so they were all afraid. But there was one man. I don't know the English version of his name, but in Hebrew, it's Nachshon Ben Ami Nadav. My mom loves him. She's mm-hmm. like, you just got to do your inner Nachshon Ben Ami Nadav. Mm-hmm. And she's like, in that moment, he just jumped in first because he just had this audacity, right? Yes. Like he was like, if God said it, I believe it.
Yes.
And that's when the sea split.
Yes.
You know, you can't so wait beautiful. For the opportunity.
Yes.
You got to jump in.
So. And it's also, I went to bed meditating on it last night. That is the way through. Mm-hmm. It is not through the flowers and the birds and the bees and the sunshine. Right. The way that you transmute fear is straight through it. Yeah. It's right in the middle of the storm.
You know what I love about this energy dynamic as well is that, like, I don't know if a lot of people, unless they're entrepreneurs or in this stage of their life or their journey, are going to understand this, but like, people want the flowers.
Yes.
They want the easy life. They want, wouldn't it be nice to sit on my butt all day and just eat bonbons, right? But like, I don't know about you. Maybe we're crazy. Maybe we're made of different stuff. But there is something so glorious about this grit and grind yes. and challenge. Yes. And like, because every time, like you said, it comes at you and you have to rise to your next higher self. It's so empowering.
Feel invincible.
It's so invincible. It's like every time I do something that I'm afraid of, it's wild to look back and be like, I can't believe I was afraid of that. Yes,
I'm going to show you something.
Truly nothing to fear except for fear itself.
So I have this emotional scale. I have a really huge one on my wall. Mm-hmm. I give everybody one that would like to have one for themselves. So Spirit has been working with me on this, right? And so one thing that I just want to point out is that, as you can see, all of the lower vibrational emotions, they are
shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, pride, courage. Okay, so courage comes after pride. Yeah. And then what does this say? Neutrality.
Yes.
Willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy. And then what's the top one?
Peace and enlightenment.
Enlightenment. It's yes. beautiful.
So fear is the direct opposite of
reason.
Reason.
Wow.
Fear is the direct opposite of reason. So what does that mean to you?
Well, you know what it makes me think of? There was this clip of, are you familiar with the comedian Bill Burr?
No.
Okay, I'll send you the clip. But he basically is really rough around the edges. But he has this one clip that I was like, love it, where he says, listen, everything's going to be all right. And even if it's not all right, isn't it better to say that it's going to be all right? And then when you have to deal with it, you deal with it yes. versus living in this state of fear. Like, why worry twice?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Fear is the exact opposite.
Like you are frequency. So, you are so capable.
Yes.
Every one of us is so capable.
We have like, everything we need.
We say we don't want to go through challenges and drama and all these things. And that's true. But just know that if you do, you have it in you to be okay.
Yes. To overcome.
To overcome and to heal. And like we talk about sometimes, like this is very esoteric, but there could be people out there who've gone through trauma that is just beyond what any human should really ever have to go through.
Yeah, right? I have.
And you might ask yourself, why? And in Hebrew, the word for why is lama. And we have certain, they're called nekudos. I don't know what the English word for that is, but it's the little symbols, I guess you could say, that are above or below the Hebrew words to tell you how to pronounce it.
Okay.
So the same Hebrew letters that create the word lama, which means why, also create the word lima, which means for what. Mm. So instead of when something hard or traumatic happens to you, you say, why is this happening to me? Because that's not going to be a opportunity for growth, right? That's just going to make you very sad or angry or scared or overwhelmed. Instead, you should say, for what? Yes. For what purpose can this catapult me to the next level? There are certain souls in this world that have volunteered to go through trauma in order to help others.
Me.
Because you would not be able to help others if you hadn't gone through what you went through.
So beautiful. Like,
you know,
when I had my zap, before I had my zap, I was ready to give up on life. I had a really hard, very, very hard life.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to ask myself, what is this for? Like, I know nobody else that goes through the things that I've experienced in my life. I've had every loss that you name it, I've experienced.
It's just too much after a while.
Yeah. And I was ready to leave this earth. Mm-hmm. I was 36 years old when I had my zap, and I was done. But after I had my zap, oh my God. So in the zap, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the zap told me that you had a hard life. You are God. You know, you guys are creators. You can create your own reality. And now is your turn to be able to figure out how to do that. And right now, today, sitting with you, I cannot remember what the end goal is. I can't remember what the end reward was for. But the zap said, there is an equal good for every loss that you've ever experienced in your life.
Believe that.
Listen.
Yeah.
There's an equal good for every. And so I remember I was asking, like, well, what's the equal good of for my dad dying? I don't see what could be an equal
literally
good. What could be equal to that? And so after I had my zap, that question was answered. So the equal good was your father passed for you to wake up in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
That's equal. And then everything that I have experienced, every loss, every pain, every trauma that I experienced in my life, whatever information that I got in that zap, it all went away. It melted away. When the zap told me that this was my reward for everything that I went through, my literal response was, well, it wasn't that bad. I mean,
stop.
This is what I get for what I went through. It wasn't that bad. Could not believe what it wasn't that bad. It wasn't, and I promise you, and I know that it was the way that it was supposed to be. I was supposed to get the information and forget, because I've been on this journey now for almost 4 years. But I will never forget the feeling, the overwhelming feeling of love, the overwhelming vision of where my life was going. And the spirit said, well, that's your payback. I'm like, what? This is what I get for that? Like, wow, I'll do that again if that's the case.
Yeah.
I'll do it over and over and over again if it's the reward.
And how beautiful that you got to this point, right? And now you get to be this light for others, right? That's amazing.
Yes.
That's really powerful. Spirit. You're a beautiful soul.
Yes. Thank you so much. I am so amazed at where my life is now.
Such a blessing.
It is. And yeah. I feel very, very blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you will continue to feel that, and it's going to grow just like love grows, right? Yeah. Like, I've heard people say, like, they have so much love when they have that first child,
yes,
right? It's like an experience they've never felt before, that their love could be this outside of body experience, right? Yes. Like, their heart is outside of their body now.
Yeah.
And then I've heard people say when they had their second child, they're like, almost concerned before that child was born, like, how can I possibly share my love, mm-hmm, with another child, right? Yeah. And then they have a second child and they're like, oh my gosh, it, yes, just grows.
Yes.
It just grows. And I think especially because you're a giver,
yeah,
and you're so community oriented, I think it's like going to just grow and grow and grow for, yeah, you. And I'm really so excited to see where you take this.
Yeah.
And I'm excited that Le Cafe gets to grow with you.
Yes, I, you know, love it. We're a community. We're going to grow together. We're going to build such a force,
mm-hmm,
that cannot be shaken. And, yeah, it's going to be built from love and community, yeah, and joy, but, and creativity.
Do you realize, like, just how powerful, like, just to reiterate again, like, you would not be able to speak with so much conviction and with so much passion if you hadn't been through so much pain.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, because if you would have had like fun, lovely life, not too much challenge, kind of eased and breezed through it.
Yeah, that's your equal good.
It would have just, and if you would have tried to do the community that you were doing, people would have been like, oh, well, it's easy for you to say.
Yeah, you have such a perfect life.
It must be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be like, it's so nice to be inspirational when you've never had a challenge.
Yes.
And what's interesting to me as well is I have found that, believe it or not, there are people out there who don't have a lot of challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know what's the purpose behind why some have more and some have less. But personally, I have found that those people are pretty vanilla.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What makes people dynamic and exciting and interesting to talk to is when they have something. Yes. Right? They've overcome something. There's this book called The Hero's Journey. And it talks about the whole process of becoming a hero is, you know, we'll use the example of a little boy grows up in a village and, you know, everything's normal, everything's small town. And then one day he has this calling for something greater, something greater than what he has always known. And so he must leave where he's always been. This is very similar to your journey.
Yeah.
And then he has to leave and go through a series of challenges and struggles and adventures.
Yeah.
Only to return as the victor, as the hero to his village.
Yes.
Right. And I feel like that's where you're at right now.
Me
right.
Too.
You literally left, right? You went to the bush and you went, and that started because you're like, I mean, here's the thing. Even with me, like I went through a series of like super difficult things. I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
Maybe someone needs to hear this so I can talk about it. Not that my life wasn't challenging, and it was. I did have my challenges, but like earlier January of this year, I had 3 major extreme challenges that happened to me in a short period of time within 5 days. Mm-hmm. My dad has dementia. Mm-hmm. I'm 28. He was diagnosed when I was 23.
Wow.
And that's been hard.
Yeah.
And I've been saying that it's not hard because I hate being a victim and I hate pity.
Yeah.
So I'm always like being positive, but it is hard.
Yeah.
And, but it is what it is. Yeah. So you have to make the best of your situation. And so when my dad got diagnosed with dementia, I had to learn to mourn the man that he was, but love the man who he had become.
Yes.
Which was very difficult because you're mourning a dad that's not here, but yet he's still here.
Yes.
Right. And there's been a few health scares and I was always the one to find him every time there was a scare. Mm-hmm. And in January, this January 2024, he was in good health. And my mom always used to say, she still says, he doesn't have dementia. He has the good kind. He has clear dementia. Mm-hmm. And she gave him so much freedom and she treated him like a human being, not like a patient. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted him to be like, don't move. Like, please don't break. Like, I need you to just stay still. Mm-hmm. Right. And he has so much energy and he's like a people person. Mm-hmm. He was going down the stairs. We have 3 flights of stairs. We have a shared basement. We live in a duplex. Mm-hmm. And he was bringing the laundry up. And my mom thought that there was a garbage bag down there for him to bring up the laundry. There wasn't. So my dad tried to get creative. And he took one of those dish racks. He piled all of this laundry up it. He made it almost all the way up the stairs. And then he fell backwards.
Oh, my God.
He fractured his neck. He broke half his ribs. And when someone falls, you're not supposed to pick them up. But I was so panicked that I ran and I picked him up with the adrenaline. Like I picked him up and I brought him up the stairs. And I don't know if I did more damage, but eventually the ribs like cut into his lung. And so his lung was – so yeah, it was a lot. He's been in and out of hospitals. We thought it was going to be recovery and whatever, but he's now in a nursing home. So he's not coming home, which was just, it's been hard, you know? So being able to be like a barista where I have shorter hours and I can take off if I need to, I'm not dealing with like a stereotypical corporate job.
Yeah.
It's been a blessing in that way.
Yes.
But I had my dream job that I got this past November, 2023, where I was a senior graphic designer, finally, climbing that corporate ladder, doing package design, which was always my dream. And it seemed like a dream job. And it just really wasn't a fit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into too many of the details, but it was really bad for my mental health.
Yeah.
And it's weird how sometimes getting everything you think you want is really the last thing.
I love it. I love you saying this.
And I was fired from my dream job.
I love it.
And it was alignment. Within days of my dad falling. And then also my first boyfriend that I ever had, because I've just been a late bloomer in the romance department. So it was my first ever long-lasting boyfriend. And it was like always this thing when I would go on dates where initially you're like, are they going to like me? Is this going to be a thing? And like, I never really got to like the serious relationship part. It would, whether it was me or the guys, we never just clicked long enough that it was long-term. And then finally I dated this guy where we got to this point where we were exclusive. And I was like, wow, I don't have to worry about it anymore. I could just kind of relax and focus on us growing.
Yeah.
And then he ghosted me for like a month and then broke up with me over text, all within this time period. And so each of these things.
5 days.
And each of these things are so overwhelming within itself.
Like 5 days.
Just one thing would hurt someone.
5 days. Grace. The grace of God. You know, things happen and they seem so traumatic to us.
Yeah.
But your higher self knows everything.
Yeah.
We just were discussing how we want to know everything and we want to control. God's grace.
Right.
God's grace.
But see, the thing is I think it's so important to work on your connection to God and spirituality and have this toolkit because you never know when you're going to need it, right? Yeah. You can't wait till you're in a challenging situation to work on it. You need to work on it when times are good.
Yes.
And so I had been really working on my spirituality a lot and my connection with God. When I was 23, a big part of my personal awakening was I had grown up as an Orthodox Jew, and I realized that somewhere along the way, I had stopped doing it because it was meaningful for me. And I was doing it because I was trying to impress other people. Mm-hmm. And that's not me.
Yeah.
And that's not a way. And we talked about this earlier in the episode. That's not a way to live your life. It's not going to be an authentic, joyful existence.
Yeah.
So I decided, respectfully, screw everyone. I'm going to just work on my relationship with God. And when I say that, I just mean emotionally. Like, let's talk for real.
Yes.
And then after that, what's meaningful to me about Judaism, I will practice. And what's not is a journey.
Exactly.
Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't.
Yeah.
To be determined.
Exactly.
I never say never because I also would never have thought I would be not religious one day.
Exactly.
But yet in a way, I am. And when I say not religious, I'm very spiritual. I have such a strong, deep faith in God. It's more about the daily practices. Yeah. That's where my struggle is more.
Yeah.
But I just have like this strong conviction. Like you said, first of all, I believe that bad things come in threes. And I also believe that forever, like you said, literally, I resonate so much with your story and your perspective on life because I believe that for every bad thing that happens, an equal, if not better, good thing is going to happen.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, I'm like, whoo, what a time to be alive.
Yes.
And if it's this bad, seemingly so, then God is about to grant me with the most amazing blessing.
Finna turn up.
Ever.
Yeah, you finna turn up.
And then there was like the next month, there was like certain things that happened where I thought I had met someone who potentially was going to be like a good person. I don't know if they were going to be a mentor or a business partner. That ended up being totally wrong too. And it wasn't like it was all of a sudden like bad, good. There still were other challenges that were happening, right? Yeah. But I was like, I just have this strong certainty beyond logic that it's going to be okay. And so, and then like that person didn't work out. But then in March is when I met Dre. And it's really been such a blessing ever since.
If things can't be moved around, then you cannot be connected to the next thing. Mm-hmm. So sometimes things look like I'm losing, but it has to move in order for you to be connected to the next thing.
Yeah.
So we
God
have
literally to, has to be like, move.
Yeah. That's the universe is a universe. So it has to do things to say, go left, go right, go this, go this. So it has to make things happen for you to make that turn because it knows what it's connecting you with.
You know how chit-chatty I am.
Yeah.
At this dream job, it was just me, the boss, and one other person.
Yeah, no.
And I felt like, forget the work, just the social aspect of it. My soul was dying.
Yeah.
If I were to only be a barista for the rest of my life, I love it.
Yeah.
So much. I call it speed dating.
Yeah.
Every interaction that I have with the customer is like, I have 2 to 3 minutes. What can I do to squeeze the most out of this?
So beautiful.
Can I make someone's day? You know, you
have to know that being in that energy every day is going to connect you to your all. Mm-hmm. The coffee shop is a stepping stone. The coffee shop is a connector.
Yeah.
That's what that is. but it is a place where it cultivates joy inside of you. It brings out the part of you that you want to share with the world, yeah. and that is only going to continue to grow, like you said. So that is the perfect place for you to be in, so that you can just keep the energy about yourself, so yeah. that the universe can drop on your head exactly. You don't even know what you want. That's the thing.
No,
like the big thing that comes, it's not even, it's going to be something that you never even imagined. You yeah. never even imagined that.
Yeah, I know. And being open is so important too. Like,
yeah.
I like to say I'm a recovering type A.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, I think there's a time and a place for being disciplined and organized and having lists and showing up and being responsible and dependable.
Yeah.
But there's also something about being like, you know what is meant to be will be.
It will.
And this is something that Dre and I have talked about too, because he's a super hard worker. And I think sometimes he doesn't really like the fluffy kind of energetic stuff where he's like, don't say what will be. And then you sit home and do nothing.
Yeah.
Don't sit home and do nothing.
Yeah.
Show up. Be your best.
Yes.
But believe that like you're going to do 110%, but you're not the end all be all.
Right.
God is what's going to bring you. Yeah.
And
to
just
it.
Make sure that 110% is enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, when we think that when we start to move our body, that we're supposed to be obligating. We're mm-hmm. supposed to be doing things out of obligation. No, God is saying that everything is going to be all right. So go on. What would you be doing if you were not worried about the situation that you left up to me to handle?
I love that. That's so true.
What would you be doing? So, you know, yeah. when we get stuck in the worry, we're doing worrying things. But what if you said that I gave it to God? So now what are you going to be doing? Yeah. That is what God is asking you to do.
Do you want to hear an example of that?
Yeah.
So our this is a little personal, but it's fine. The subscription for our Shopify account, which is what we use to sell the coffee online, it's like about $100 mm-hmm. every single month. And we had a little bit of a slow month, and I was concerned because I was like, oof, are we going to have enough capital to cover the cost of this membership, right? And then I was teaching a painting class because I teach paint and wine classes as well. And one of the classes, mid-class, I decided to just go for it. And I shared with everyone, oh, hey, by the way, I also have this coffee shop if anyone wants to follow us. And then at the end, one of the guys came over and he gave me $100.
I love it.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it.
I mean, for so many reasons. First of all, I literally had just been worrying about it. And God was like, chill.
Yeah.
And secondly, it gave me so much inspiration because I was like, a big thing that I'm trying to learn with money is to be a conduit.
Yeah.
There's this, I'm going to send you this book because I think you'll love it. It's a spiritual book on money. It's called, hopefully I won't butcher this. I believe it, the money isn't yours.
Yeah.
And so the idea is like, you know, whenever you do a meditation, there's like, they tell you, it's like, imagine a light is coming from above and just going through your body and just coming out through your fingers and your toes, and you're just letting it flow through you, right?
Yeah.
That's how money should be as well,
yeah.
where it's coming from source and you don't hold on to it and you're not stingy with it.
Yeah.
And like, I think a lot of people when they're in their broke season, because we all go through that, they think, oh, when I'm rich, I'll be charitable.
Yeah.
But right now I can't.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
Because first of all, God's not going to give you the money if you're not going to be a giver.
Yeah.
You're God's bank if you're rich. You have to give to others. That's number one. And number two, it's all an energy thing. So you can't be holding on to it because then you're having a scarcity mindset that there's going to be more.
Yeah.
Right.
One thing, I made a TikTok post about money. And so I had this basically. I was talking to my daughter about it, and I was like, we need to start thinking about money as if money was a friend of ours, a person.
Yes.
So, like, and so what are you, so we all want money, we all want to possess money, but how do we think about money? How do we treat money?
Yeah.
Is it a harmonious situation? And so I treated money as if you were money. And so I did a skit and I was saying, well, would money come to you easily if you were like, money, oh my God, where are you? Oh my God, money, you're never enough. Money, oh my, you take so long to come around. Money, yeah. I can never hold on to you. Money, money, money. It's like, ew, I don't know.
You're clingy. You're annoying.
Gotta love me more. I mean, is this the way you treat me? You know, so if we can just have a better relationship with money, if we can be more in love with money, if we can be in more appreciation of money, I think that we can attract it more.
Literally.
And also if we can realize that we are above money. Money is matter. Matter is created by the mind, by energy. So it's mind over matter. Right. So money is a tool that is for our benefit. It's not the other way around. And so many of us, and we have been trained, you know, and programmed this way to treat money as if it's so elusive or as if it is hard to obtain or if it's. So I think if we just try our best to change our mindset about money, and like you said, when it is going out and coming in, if we can have a more relaxed energy around it.
Yeah. And challenge yourself to that.
Yeah.
There's small things you can do. Like, I think this is a challenge that I've done, and I think it's a really good one to do, especially now in the season. Whenever you go grocery shopping, a lot of times they'll be like, do you want to round up to the next dollar for this charity? And, you know, me budgeting, not feeling like I'm not making enough right now, I was like, I wish I could, but no.
Yeah.
Right? Next time. And always feeling guilty about it, right? Yeah. Well, I started to challenge myself that within this economy, with inflation, with groceries, what better opportunity when I'm feeling scarcity already about the price of groceries
to go through it,
to go do it. And I've been doing it ever since.
Right.
And it's tiny if you think about it. Like, what? 35 cents is really going to break the bank?
Yeah.
It's not.
And if you believe that it's going to break the bank, then it is.
And that energy will change everything. And it's like when that man gave me that $100, I thought to myself, I cannot wait to when I'm in a position where I can just give entrepreneurs $100, because to me, it won't mean that much.
Yeah.
But to them, it's going to be like, wow.
Right.
Wow. Yes. You know? And another beautiful story that so the thing about being a barista is tips, right? Mm-hmm. Tips is something that people feel very like back and forth about with baristas specifically. And I get it.
Yeah.
Because before I was a barista, I always thought, oh, I don't know, like I totally get tipping at restaurants because you've had the service, you've had the food, and then you tip accordingly, right? And it's been such an experience. Versus with the coffee shop, most likely you're running in, you're running out.
Yeah.
You haven't even had your coffee yet.
Yeah.
And you want a tip?
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
Yeah.
Right. But in the end of the day, like, it's just a nice act in terms of if you think of us as like a community, like a lot of baristas, you're not getting paid a lot of money.
You're not.
And obviously you're there for whatever reason, whatever journey you're on in your life. But it's just, it's very wonderful to get those tips because that helps you pay rent, that helps you pay for your groceries. Like you to $1 to that person, baristas can go home in a day with $50 to $80, depending on how generous people were.
Yes.
And that makes a big difference for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, I see a lot of different types that I don't always check the tips, but like there's a lot of fancy guys in suits that come into the shop and they don't tip.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But here's the crazy thing, and this is going to give you chills. There's this one woman who's homeless.
The black woman.
Yeah. She comes into the shop and we give her water. In the summer, it's ice water. In the winter, it's hot water. And that's usually it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not allowed to do anything more than that.
Yeah.
But every so often, she has money and then she'll only buy a can of Coke. That's it. She doesn't buy a drink. So it's quite literally like we're not making her anything. And a can of Coke is like $2.50. And she always will give us the 50 cents back as a tip money.
Yeah.
She's homeless.
Yeah.
Like, of all the people who need the 50 cents, it's quite literally her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Last week, she came in. She had a $20 bill. She's like, can you give me change for this so I can give you guys some money? She didn't buy anything. She just put like $3 into our thing.
Yeah.
And she said to us, thank you for always giving me water. It helps more than you know. It's water. It's free.
Yeah.
And it's just so like humbling.
It makes me cry. But yeah.
It's humbling.
Yes.
And I think I just one more thing that I would love to bring back to your Vision Circle community is talking about what you do with the meals for the homeless.
Oh, well, yeah. And so another thing that came to me in the zap. And I think it has, that's been a part of why it's been so hard for me to monetize my gifts, is because the zap said, don't sell God's gifts. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, I won't sell them. So anyway, when I started cooking, I love to cook. I will cook for anybody. I will feed anyone. And so I felt that when I started to cook, if people buy food, then I can feed the homeless. Basically, every time somebody buys food from me, I will feed someone that is homeless. So there's a lot of different community places that I visit. So like the coffee shop, or I'll go to Farrell's Donuts that's right down on the corner. The grocery store, Schnucks, or the library. So every week I'll take a menu to them and I'll say, if you see someone that comes in, if they're in need, if they're hungry, text my phone and I will make them a plate. And I make their food as if they bought it, just like everybody else's. I make them gourmet, whatever they want. Yeah. And that makes me feel amazing to feed them, because, like you said, the price of food right now is astronomical. I cannot believe. So, and we work, and it's hard to feed yourself. Yeah. And so I cannot imagine. And so that gives me so much joy to be able to feed. And we're downtown St. Louis. I don't know if you guys, you know, we're downtown St. Louis. We have a very large homeless community down here. And it is my pleasure to feed them, to give them warm clothes. I live in a loft building right down the street. When it's raining or snowing, I'll let them come into the lobby to get them out of the elements. But yes, that is absolutely my pleasure, to serve the homeless community. One thing that I want to do with Vision Circle at the beginning of next year is to, we're all going to sleep outside. We're all going to get tents. I'm going to have, of course, security will come and help. But we're all going to give up our beds for a night to see what it feels like to sleep outside. And we could have did it in the springtime when it's all nice outside or whatever. But we're going to do it when it's cold as hell, like it is now. And we're going to go sleep outside with the homeless and pass out food and hot chocolate and talk or whatever they want to do. But my kids and I are in Vision Circle. We're all going to go out and find us a spot downtown and sleep with the homeless people.
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very selfless.
Yeah.
Something with my coffee as well is that we give 10% back to charity. So that's
so beautiful.
Yeah. So every month we pick a different charity.
Wow.
Because I want it to not just be like so focused on just one charity. I want to spread the wealth.
How do you find your charities?
So I do whatever, even whether it's someone recommends a good one or if there's something that speaks to my heart.
Okay.
And then also I have utilized AI to figure out ones that are like special for each month.
Okay.
You know? So, so far we've given to the Women's Safe House. And then we've also given to, my friend has a charity that he has been promoting, which is called Romp. And so what they do is he's an amputee. Oh. And so he and a group of amputees just climb out Cotopaxi, which is one of the highest summits in South America.
Really?
And I have both my legs and I've never climbed a mountain. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so what they're doing, this group of amputees and then also this charity, is as they are showing that just because you are missing a limb, you are not less of a person.
Yeah.
And they're pushing the boundaries of what you can do.
Yes.
Which is so powerful.
Yes.
But even more than that, giving back to the amputee community, normally, to get a prosthetic with insurance, it costs 10 to 15 grand.
Really?
And they are giving prosthetics to amputees for $500.
Really?
Which is life-changing.
Wow, yes.
Life-changing.
Yes.
I think there's so much more to that program that they're doing. But like things like that are just, they amazing. Speak to me. And like, yeah. I just really want to help. And so it's like, I think it's one of those things that like, as I'm putting that out into the ether, people can recommend ideas for me. Yeah. And I'm always open, right? You know, yeah. But I always just I call it my Sip with Purpose program.
Yes, I love it. Yeah. So beautiful.
So like I was thinking at your events, what I would love to do is have like a little flyer with a QR code for whatever charity.
Yes.
So if people want to even donate more. Yes. But just so people know, when you're buying our coffee, and it is luxury coffee, it is a more of a premium price. It's because it's a premium bean. It's it's an experience. Yeah. You know, I stand so strongly behind why we do the prices we do.
Yes.
We are doing a little bit of a sale right now because it is the holiday season. So if you buy online, it is 14% off.
Okay.
So a bag usually is like $22 a bag, and now it's $19 a bag.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever you buy, 10% of that goes.
I love it. Love
so
that.
We just want to spread the word because it's like the more people buy our coffee, the more impact we can do.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love it. And I'm so happy that I can be on your team to get your coffee out. I think it's beautiful.
And even buying the coffee alone too, like right now we're not even taking any money that we're making. We're putting it all back into the business.
Yes.
Because what we want to do is it's almost like you're almost in a sense crowdfunding as well when you're buying the coffee, because you're not just buying coffee for your home. You're helping us to be able to elevate the business so that eventually we have a brick and mortar. We're community, and these kinds of conversations can happen in a bigger setting, right? Yes. Where the podcast studio will be there to do things like this.
Yes, I have an amazing building. It is South City is off of Cherokee in California. It is for rent right now. It is the most amazing place on earth. It looks like a fairy tale castle. Place. It's over 3,000 square feet. I was in there right before my father passed, and then my father passed and I let it go. But while I was in the bush, I got a vision that I would be going back there. And so I came back to St. Louis thinking that I was going to go straight back into that place, and it was not possible for me. So I thought that I heard the wrong thing. But just about a few months ago, it came back around. The place is available again, and it is an awesome place. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but maybe one day we can set up a tour so that you can go and look inside of that place. Because I had a vision for a coffee shop. But just for a coffee shop at the entrance of this place. It is awesome. Okay.
Potentially. I will say I do have a space in mind. That I had a similar experience with this particular space.
Well, I just...
You never know.
Yeah, I just want you to see it. But
I would love to see it.
It's... Yes, I just want us to go see it, okay? Because it's very magical.
Yeah.
And I'm just connecting with so many people that I just feel like we could come together and make this space awesome. Absolutely. Creative space. So that's just something that we can look into, but it is an awesome space. So
I feel like... We could talk for hours, and we definitely are going to do another episode for sure, because we've literally just brushed the surface, and it's part of our journey, I think. I think as we know each other and as we grow as a community, we're going to have that much more to talk about.
Yes.
But I have this tradition at the end of every episode. It's based on this Hebrew quote, which is Eza Hu Chacham, Halomed Mikol Adam, which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. Mm-hmm. And we have learned so much from you.
Yes.
But if we can just get one last little bit of knowledge and inspiration, if there is a quote or a piece of wisdom that you'd like to leave with us.
I would say the phrase. And the phrase that has spoken to my life and to the people close to me is to act as if, no matter what your reality looks like, act as if what you prefer to be, walk in it. When you wake up in the morning, decide who you are. Don't let the world decide it for you. Don't let your circumstance decide it for you. Don't let your past decide it for you. You get to choose. That is the greatest gift that the universe has bestowed upon all of us, is that we get to choose. So if you can wake up in the morning and act as if you are on your way to your chosen destiny.
I love that.
Yay.
It reminds me of this quote where it's like, be the energy that manipulates the room. Don't let the room's energy manipulate you.
Yes.
Yeah. This is so great.
Yeah, I love
it. So is there one last thing that as an audience we can do to support you?
I think just keep me in your high thoughts. You will see me again. Mm-hmm. This is, I feel so much energy around this. I think it is my first introduction to the world. I have a great mission ahead of me, and I really do appreciate this opportunity. This is one of my act as if. When you invited me to come on your podcast, I meditated on how this would be my coming future, that I will be invited on different podcasts and different speaking engagements, and people are going to be looking for me and seeking me. And yes. So I really do appreciate you giving me the practice and putting me in the energy of who I truly am.
This is a natural. You're such a natural. Like, this is such a wonderful environment and space for you. I know. With certainty, beyond logic, but even with logic, I know that you are going to be on many podcasts. I think you are going to be a motivational speaker and coach.
Yes.
And I think that you will one day, probably in the very near future, have your own podcast and platform to inspire others. And then I'll be a guest on your.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. You did wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. And if you guys are not already following, what are you doing with your life? I'm specifically trying to grow on YouTube. So even if you don't want to watch it on YouTube, just subscribe. Do your girl a favor. I'm trying to get monetized. So subscribe and then share with a friend. That is key. It is so wonderful when we can grow the community. And you can follow me on any of the socials, TikTok, Instagram. And then the video version of this episode is going to be on YouTube and Spotify, but you can find the podcast on all the streaming services.
Okay.
So yeah, thank you again.
Thank you.
I hope you guys have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.
Yay.